Let's go. Fireside chat next. CRE Tech, you may know as the largest event research and data platform devoted to the commercial real estate technology sector. CRE Tech annually produces sold-out events in New York, Boston, and LA, and has built the biggest community of real estate tech professionals in the world. We are thrilled to have the CEO of CRE Tech here today for a fireside chat with our founder. So please welcome to the stage Michael Beckerman and KP Reddy.
Good. It's interesting. The real estate people are like, what's BIM? And the architects are like, what's customer experience?
Right.
So,
well, this is great. Congratulations on a great day.
Thank you.
Sure, tomorrow will be even better.
Yeah.
When good. I leave.
And it's been kind of a mashup today, so it's good. So, I think there's no fire to do the fireside. But I had some top, we were texting earlier. When your first text in the morning is from Michael Beckerman,
and he answers it at like 5:30,
you know your day's off to a good start. We were going back and forth on like what do we want to talk about, and I came up with some specific ideas. So I look at like our industry, and feels like we're still in 1.0, right? We're automating paper. I think there was a press release, some firm raised some money yesterday. And the headline was, all we're doing is taking things from paper and putting it into a computer or something like that, which is kind of just the beginning of innovation. I mean, are you seeing anything more interesting than that?
Okay, so this is what happens when you don't script, right? I gotta really think, and I'm on the spot. So just quick background, put it in perspective. So I'm a 35-year veteran of the commercial real estate industry, right? So I know the industry, I know how it works, and I got involved in the tech side, say 2011, 2012, just because for me personally, as KP knows, I was just looking for the next blank canvas in my career, something new, something that I was gonna get my ass kicked every single day, and I found it, and it's tech. So I've been at this for a while, and my whole mission is, you know, trying to bring technology and innovation to the commercial real estate industry, mostly through our conferences and through data and research. And you saw my wonderful colleague Ash earlier. So when I got in the space, I think the first year, KP, it was about $50 million invested in the space. This year, and you guys have talked about it on the stage, and you've been very helpful in also supplying data to us, you know, we're looking at $25 billion invested in the space.
Less we work.
I heard the comment. And if you said to me, like, Mike, where's the innovation? So, you know, we've got investment and then we've got adoption, right? You would agree that adoption is still lagging.
Yes.
Substantially.
Right, absolutely.
So I think there's definitely, you know, amazing startups that are coming, that are here, that are doing great things. We're seeing coming now globally. There's a whole wave coming from Israel, from India, Southeast Asia, Europe. So, you know, Toronto, you've got a couple of founders here from Toronto. So there's great innovation, but what, you know, gives me not stress, but sort of, you know, my frustration is we need more adoption. Right? And we need more of an infrastructure within the industry. We need more CTOs, CIOs. We need more owners, developers, brokers coming and saying, okay, I need to adopt. So I think there's great innovation, but we've got to get that baked within the ecosystem.
So one of our theses is that, maybe my thesis, is in order for there to be true disruption, there's winners and losers. Right? Someone has to lose. We can't play well together. You have to go out and destroy Yardi, destroy RealPage, destroy Autodesk, CoStar.
That's why I love this guy.
CoStar.
He's not shy.
Right? CoStar. I mean, come on. Right? All these guys are highly incumbent. They have their way with startups. They shut off APIs, Autodesk in the design side. Nobody's going after them. And our view has been, until people start trying to go after them, it's kind of like what Microsoft was in the 90s. Until Google showed up and started giving stuff away, we all just had Microsoft Office on our desktop. We were stuck. So are you starting to see any inkling of that? I mean, we see bits and pieces, but we also believe there's not enough capital to really give these startups the horsepower, you know, to take on Argus is another one. Anyone use Argus? That's another terrible tool out there, right? So are you starting to see anything where people are trying?
No.
Any ideas why? Are they scared?
Yes. Is this my public role or my private role? I mean, like, I wear two different hats. No, because I think, KP, to your point is, startups need traction. You're a very sophisticated investor. You want to see adoption and revenue, and they're going toward after the low-hanging fruit. My belief is that we are in the first inning of this revolution, and it's coming, and it's going to be profound, and this is what I do, travel around the world talking about this. It's coming. It's going to impact every aspect of our industry, construction, brokerage, development, every part of it. But not yet.
Okay, so you brought up brokerage, right, which has been one of those things where I look at technology. Mike Brewer was talking earlier about, you know, leasing consultants. Like, do you need someone to walk you to a unit and open the door for you and tell you how amazing your life will be here? I don't think I need that. I don't think most of us need that. But these jobs exist. Commercial real estate brokerage jobs exist. A lot of these jobs where there's people taking hefty percentages, and then if you look at them on the money side, you know, a dollar of principal capital, about 60 cents actually makes it to a project. By the time everybody takes their cut, between the lawyers and the underwriters and the investment bankers, there's a lot of brokers in between that technology could fix that. I mean, it seems like everybody's still afraid. Even the previous panel, well, you know, people aren't going to lose their jobs. We're still going to play well together. But at some point, don't we have to make a push against some of these kind of old school broker non-value add businesses?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think we are in the play nice phase of CRE-Tech. I think for the foreseeable future, in order to get traction, the companies that are in the space are going to play nice in the sandbox. But I think longer term, and my colleague Ash and I, we study other industries, and you look at financial services, and I spend most of my time, that's what I study. When I want to see where we're going as an industry, I just look where others have gone. And you look at a company like Goldman Sachs, and ask them how many stockbrokers are still at Goldman Sachs, how many traders are still at Goldman Sachs. I mean, they've eliminated layer upon layer upon layer. Goldman has 10,000 engineers now. So I think we're eventually going to get there. My feeling, though, is I just don't see it in the immediate future, particularly when most of the money that's being invested in the space is coming from within the industry, right? So it is the brokerage firms, it's the JLL Sparks, it's the CBREs, it's the Cushmans, et cetera, et cetera. It is the big landlords. So, you know, they're not going to cannibalize their own ranks right now.
So what do you think? Everybody says there's going to be a blip, right? Because there's a cycle, there's always a cycle. If any of us know when that is, we probably wouldn't be here.
Ash does.
Ash knows that? Okay. So what do you think happens, right? When I went through the dot-com and the dot-bomb, there was actually this recycling. All of a sudden, people had less resources, and there was almost a bigger push to technology because they had less resources. There was actually an acceleration of adoption for a minute. Do you think this industry will do the same thing, or are they going to say, oh, that tech thing was really cool, go hire those 10 brokers so we can get to business? Like, we're going to stop playing with tech anymore. This was all fun and games while we had strong balance sheets and great EBITDA. But now that everything's tight, we're going to stop? Or did people double down and push harder?
That's a great question. You obviously prepped for this. You told me no prep. You're like,
I was just thinking,
geez, I'm sweating. Oh, my goodness.
My meditation time this morning.
He's tough. I thought we were just going to play nice and talk about hobbies and kids. And So my crystal ball, and my wife and kids remind me I'm wrong 99% of the time, so take this for a grain of salt. My crystal ball says that for the foreseeable future, the industry has an opportunity to get this right and not go the way of retail, not taking Amazon seriously, or travel agents in a way, not taking online reservations seriously, industry after industry after industry. So we have this window of opportunity. But unless we really embrace some of these fundamental changes that are happening to our industry, and all these great panelists talked about it, for instance, the millennials, for instance, you know, the nature of co-working and co-living and demographics and what the expectations of tenants are or residents. It's not like when I came up, you know, where companies, everybody was signing long-term leases, and then you'd hear back from the landlord in 7, 10, 15 years. Those days are gone. So unless the industry understands that there's a fundamental paradigm shift that has taken place in the expectation of the tenant and the resident and the process, we're kind of, do we?
It's the South, but.
We're fucked. And what will come, and we see them at our conferences. They're snooping around in the backs, and they're having private meetings at different conferences. You will see Amazon come here and grab the resident and Google. They will come in, they will grab your resident, and you will lose control of that resident eventually. Everybody's going to come into that box, into that office space, and program it, and capture the data. And unless we start to understand that this is coming, you know, I think the industry is going to face some challenges. We will always own the physical asset, but what happens inside of that asset, there is absolutely no going back.
So do you think if you were talking to a 25-year-old commercial real estate tenant rep, what advice do you give them about their career? How are they going to have...
Cretech is hiring.
I mean, are they going to have the same career that their dad
no.
had?
No. Again, KP, great question. Again, study financial services. It's the closest model to ours. The middle traders, brokers, and investment bankers got completely squeezed. The top rung of that ladder is making 10 times more money. And the bottom is our engineers that are doing the data collection, data assembly, what have you. So If you're in the middle, you're in every industry, it's not just ours, you're going to get squeezed. So that would be my answer. I would say figure out how to embrace technology now, be a leader in your office, and you'll go to the top of the food chain. Because there will always be brokers, just like there will always be investment bankers. The nature of the complexity of the industry and what tenants want, there's always going to be a broker involved in it, and there should be. But they will, in my opinion, have greater earning power in the future. Okay, now I want to stop asking me questions. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't give a crap, it's your event. Okay, so KP, what technologies are you most excited about that Shadow is seeing, you know, in your current sort of influx, inbound of startups? What gives you hope for the industry that you're seeing? Because you're on the front line.
So,
okay, I'm dropping the mic, I'm out.
We love anything robotics, right? We just think that there's so much opportunity there. We think the biggest gap in robotics is the talent. Our industry has to attract the top, you know, if you want to go build a robotics company, you need to go hire one of the top 50 roboticists and go hire another 100 just like them. Hey, you want to come do construction tech with me? Or do you want to go build robotic dogs that serve, you know, apparently we have a shortage of dogs, we need robotic dogs.
I have 3 rescue dogs. I will donate any of my dogs.
So, you know, they'd rather go work on a robotic dog. So we're not going to make that push, right, into robotics. True AI, I've yet to hear anyone talk about it. Our CTO is going to talk about AI tomorrow. And I think there's a massive opportunity in AI that people aren't really exploiting. And it is about exploiting. Mm-hmm. The other thing that a lot of folks, there's a few people in the room that would get this. We have so much opportunity in material science. Mm. Everybody focuses on customer experience, apps. I mean, I don't want to see another app. I could care less about apps. There is so much opportunity in material science. There's so much IP in material science sitting on the shelves that we now have robotics, 3D printing, and other methods to deploy these materials that we've never had before. Like, it used to be very expensive. and it's just sitting on the shelf. And so we love material science. We think there's some really good opportunities. It's really risky. If you're not careful investing in material science, you start investing in like pharma. Next thing you know, you're 100 million out and you have nothing. So you have to be careful, but there's so much innovation on the shelf in material science. And I think besides that is we are looking at stuff that is going to, you know, I ask our startups, who loses? That's all I want to know.
You're brutal, dude.
That's
You're
all I wanted.
Tough.
And if the target is interesting enough and the weapon is interesting enough, I'm in.
And have you seen that?
We're seeing it.
That's good. Yeah. That's a good sign. Yeah, I think about like, you know, robotics and I at our upcoming conference in Brooklyn, October 16th and 17th. You know, Prologis is going to do a whole presentation on what they're doing. And you look at the amount of robots that are in, I think it's 100,000 that Amazon deploys throughout their warehouses. But it's still, it's top of the food chain, right? But it certainly makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I think the challenge we have here, you know, in America, we have this system, right? It's design, bid, build, you know, we have systems. And the collaboration, you know, Rob Ottani talked about it from a data and collaboration perspective. But we do have systems that don't allow us to kind of break the rules. When you look at what happens in China and India, I think India, last stat was they have to build 10,000 hospitals in 10 years. You can't carry enough bricks on your head to build that building, right? You just can't. There's no other choice. There's no other choice other than robotics and automation. And I think a lot of those countries, they're just skipping ahead. I spent a week in Singapore, and the government just kind of says, we shall. And people deploy capital, they deploy their own capital, and they solve the problem. They're less worried about, you know, are we worried about the architect? Are we worried, you know, they just say, I'm the owner. Golden rule of being the owner is the guy with all the gold that makes all the rules. You do what I tell you to do, and we're going to go extend our island, right? I mean, and so I think that's one of the biggest challenges. A lot, like you're talking about adoption, if we continue to have to play by these rules, and with good reason, they exist for good reason, it's going to be hard to really push a lot of disruption. I think you see a lot more going on.
Well, I think it's also something we talk about internally at our company is, and we talk with the landlord community in particular about it. And you know, they're looking for an ROI on their tech investment. And you know, a lot of this is, unfortunately, it's not ROI. A lot of this is just meeting the future consumer demand or the tenant demand. I mean, flex space is, in my opinion, not going backwards. Tenants want short-term, and they want flexible space. Residents want that as well. Buildings need to be collapsed and put together differently depending upon, you know, the demand. And I think so the industry needs to embrace this ethos of innovation that they've never had to embrace before. So that's sort of part of our challenge, which is to get the industry to listen to what's happening, to pay attention to outside forces, which are going to force the change. Because that's what I'm talking about. Like, at some point, it's not just going to be with inside this industry. It is the largest industry on earth measured by global GDP. I think it's like 16%, right? It's the industry spends the least amount on reinvesting in innovation, 1%, right? Where other industries are 3 to 8, right? And it's worked so far. It's worked great, right? I mean, look at a city like Atlanta or New York where we are, or other metropolitan areas and other cities that are growing. It's working great, but it won't always be this way. There's too many outside forces. So technology, to your point, it's not a bubble. It's every organization, every company must embrace this because technology is eating the world, and that's not going to go away. That's only going to accelerate.
So one of the things that's been interesting when we're at lunch is we still see this siloed effect. Commercial real estate, design and construction, everybody's kind of doing their own thing. And I joked earlier, you know, construction real estate folks are scratching their head, what's BIM? And Rob Ottani probably gave them a headache because they're just lost. But, I mean, at some point, the industry as a whole has to work together, right? It has to engage together. There's data that the commercial real estate industry has that would be very useful to their structural engineer, their architect, their landscape architect. Why aren't we seeing enough, like, a total system? If you think about manufacturing in an MRP system, right, an ERP system, it's from beginning to end. It's the entire supply chain, from PLM to supply chain and all that. It doesn't seem like we're connecting the dots. Like, why do you?
No, and I don't think, honestly, KP, I don't think we're going to in the near term. I think when people looked at this industry from outside, and they would say things like, from the inside, and they would say things like, oh, you know, companies will never be able to infiltrate commercial real estate from a technology point of view because it's too complicated. And there's too many different constituents groups. And I think that is true for the foreseeable future. But I think we're going to see new types of real estate companies emerge that'll be built from the ground up, and they will have that sort of ethos about simplicity and synergy. But I think to get the various pieces of the industry to work together when there aren't even people within the same organizations that speak the same language are going to be tough. But, you know, we have fun with WeWork because we can and we should. But, you know, my feeling about WeWork is they're a real estate company, right? They're not a tech company, right? Let's call it like it is. They're a real estate company. And from what I know, from people that I know that are in there, they're going to emerge in some capacity as a real estate developer, owner, landlord. That this co-working flex thing is just the beginning. Whether or not, you know, that's apparent or not. But I just think you're going to see new models emerge that we haven't seen yet and we can't predict.
Yeah, I mean, we're very close to WeWork, and I think...
I know.
The one thing I fall back to is talk to their customers. Customers love them. Their customers absolutely love them. Now, if they can figure out how to work out the business model to make money off their customers loving them, then they're in business.
Right. But to even just think about, again, taking WeWork aside, and Ash did a great job with his panel on co-living, right? What WeWork or Knotel or Industrious or any of those understand, and that, you know, the co-living operators understand, or the apartment hotel operators understand, is one thing better than most people in the commercial real estate industry, which is they understand the customer. And space as a service as a concept, I didn't invent that, Anthony Slumbers or Dror Poleg or KP invented it. That's like the cat's out of the bag. Like, that's it, we're done. We have to change our mindset now to understand we've got to be responsive to the customer. Whereas this industry was very, very good in the deal mode. We would chase the deal. We would love them. We would close it. We put it, lock the key, put it away, and we wouldn't see them for a while. It's done. So these types of companies understand the customer better than most real estate companies. But you're seeing it. You see companies like Heinz with their H2 product that they came out with, or Heinz Squared, whatever the hell it is. You know, that's them saying, okay, we get it. You watch Lisa Picard from Equity Office. She'll do a presentation at our event. She's going to talk about, like, their portfolio consists of very, 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 very short term, and a little bit longer than that. And that's a fundamental shift in the mindset. So I think that's the future, and those companies will win.
What do we think about Katerra?
Jesus, what are you killing me here? I got to sell tickets, man. I got, like, sponsors. I love them. They'll be at Cretec October 16th, 17th in Brooklyn.
Sell out.
Totally, dude. I mean, we're a startup ourselves, man.
I mean, I think it's interesting, right?
I got to pay the friggin' bills. Staying like 10 miles from here because I can't afford to stay here. Ash is staying at the Moxie. It's like 15 square feet, that room.
I mean, I think Katerra is an interesting story, right?
Okay, well, then you...
Let's talk about it.
KP, what do you think about Katerra?
Well, you're not helping out here at all. I mean, big idea, makes sense, but they've since acquired an architecture firm.
Three construction
companies. Yeah. It feels like they're a design-build roll-up. It looks like they're AECOM 2.0, right? Am I wrong, or is there something there that you're seeing different?
No comment. No. I think you know, we're all sort of curious to see how that model plays out, right? They raised a lot of money. They got the big valuation. I know what the promise is. I think it just, like, so we have an office in New York, and then we have an office in New Jersey where I live, in a little tiny city called Marstown. And there's a Katerra building going up. Okay? looks like any other building going up. I see the steel, I see the cement. I don't know what's behind the scenes. I don't know about the process. So I'm not really sure. I haven't seen it, right? But I think, as you said, like construction is an industry, is a segment that we're paying a lot of attention to, because there was one yesterday. Ash, who was it yesterday that raised money? Who was it? Fife? Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was a good one. I think there's a group in Nashville, built. Okay, there you go.
So one thing we haven't seen yet, right, we're seeing valuations. We're seeing the WeWork IPO type of stuff. We're seeing some mergers, really. People, two startups that maybe aren't going to make it together, make it alone, or merging to make it together. We're seeing that patterning. What we haven't seen, with the exception of maybe Oracle a little bit, we haven't seen the mainstream software folks make acquisitions. We haven't seen IBM, who has a massive asset management software portfolio through Maximo and Tririga. We haven't seen them make a play. We haven't seen Microsoft, who's tried a couple times. We have seen Oracle a little bit. When do you think we're going to start seeing Google or Microsoft or IBM say, you know what, we need to be in this space, we're going to go start making acquisitions? Are you seeing any of those?
No, I'm not seeing it yet, but I mean, it's inevitable, right? They will come. We see Google Ventures right here. We see big Silicon Valley, Sequoias of the world, and the Greylocks are all here. But I think, again, it's still so early that I think that people are looking for a couple big wins, and we just haven't seen them yet. I definitely think the M&A space is going to accelerate the rest of this year, next year. We've already seen it. CoStar is active on the M&A front now. This race to be the Bloomberg of CRE is in, you know, full bloom right now. So MRI, Procore, Yardi's coming. I think Yardi's got a platform, a marketplace product that they're about to launch of some sort. So I think that, you know, that's what VTS is trying. I think that's going to be the next iteration of Cretech in the short term. And that's why I think, you know, you're seeing so much of the money go late. That's why it's so great to see some folks like you lead in early, because we need more early. We need more early stage. But I think a lot of it now is going to be the M&A work.
Do you have any ideas on how we attract better technical talent into? I mean, I appreciate folks that had, you know, a background in commercial real estate, went to General Assembly, took some courses. They know how to code some things, and they call up their old college buddy to help out. But we're not really attracting the talent, like the real talent that's come out of. I mean, financial services did it well. Their model was simple: just throw them lots of money. Right? We don't quite have that yet. I mean, do you think there's a way to make our industry more sexy for technologists to kind of feel like they're pioneers, they can come in? I mean, what do you think the hack is there? Do you have any ideas?
So I think about it a lot, and I'm going to, I think it's University of Michigan School of Real Estate or something like that in a couple of weeks. I think it's going to be the next generation. I think it's going to be like when I was here last year with you, there's a group of Georgia Tech was here, right? When we go up to MIT and we do a conference, we see a bunch of MIT kids. In NYU, we're doing something with Shaq School, which Ash is involved in. So I honestly think, I wish it was going to be my generation's too old, maybe your generation, but I think it's going to be the next one that's coming in. And again, I think we just got to get, we got to get it out there. We need to get to the campuses. We need to talk to them. We need to educate them as to what's going on and what the opportunity is. But I think that's where it's going to come from. And again, you know, you go to other cities, right? And development talent isn't as scarce. So I don't think this is a New York, San Francisco industry. I think this is a Atlanta and Omaha and Chicago and Austin and Nashville and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think in the sense that we're not going to be a New York, San Francisco thing, gives us also opportunity and hope.
I think we're starting to run out of time. I think we got extra time.
I'm stressed, man. That was right. Tough. I'm not used to getting that kind of... You told me we're just going to have like a little chat, a little fireside thing, no fire, but I don't know, man.
I'll send you a little
emojis. About Katerra and WeWork.
Who else are your sponsors?
But I want to, I seriously want to thank you and all your leadership in the industry, because that's what really makes a profound difference is, you know, with KPU and Shadow and doing this event and just reaching new people. And, you know, I'm just very appreciative and thank you for giving us the opportunity. And thank you all for coming and learning about Cretech and this young, growing, cool industry. Is it sexy yet? I don't know. You're sexy.
See how you try to keep me from asking you the hard questions.
I thought we're done.
All that flattery. Does anybody have any questions? I know we have a little bit of time for either me or Michael, or give them to me to ask Michael.
I'm bored the crap out of them.
No?
They want a drink.
Right? Oh.
That's a great comment. I mean, you know, the other part of me wants to pick on his community a little bit on the venture side, because the other part of me says, like, you know, and this is this tension in our world, right? We've got startups that are young in terms of their history, and the founders are typically on the younger side. And then, you know, we've got wonderful people like KP and Shadow Ventures and my friend Mome from PSP and others who are investing. And they want their capital back with a nice, healthy multiple, because they should. He's nodding. Look at him. Look at him. Greedy bastard.
By the way, that's our business.
Yes. Is that why we're doing this?
I have LPs.
I thought we were doing this because we were trying to change an industry.
I have LPs in the room.
Okay. This industry needs patient capital, and it needs patience. It's going to take time. That's why when I do my stuff, I don't paint these scary pictures of the future. I talk about right now. We need more multifamily owners to come here and check out what's going on. We need more office developers and warehouse. But we need more brokers. Just check it out. Don't be scared. Get involved. Get engaged. But we are just the tip of the iceberg right now in terms of this industry and the market penetration. So we just need patience. We need time. And it's going to take it. So give us a little time, will you? Your LPs are fine. They're doing great.
Any other questions?
You know, can I ask, the lack of innovation in the industry, do you think it's because we don't have a crisis type of event in this industry? You know, so if I think about, let's say, autonomous vehicles, part of the catalyst for that is the 36,000 deaths we have every year in America, 1.2 million worldwide. If you think about the fintech world, how that started innovation, it's really the crisis of 2008, 2009, you know, what happened with the banks. So do you think we are kind of humming along in the building industry because, hey, you know, things are okay. You know, there's no need to drastically do something until Amazon or Google shows up at our front.
So the question was, do we need a crisis? I believe we're in a crisis. I don't think there is a Gen Z that's interested in swinging a hammer, sawing a piece of wood, welding anything. I think we have a major, major talent issue on building buildings. And it's not getting better. I mean, I don't blame them. I'm not that excited about swinging a hammer either. And if they can make, I mean, these kids are making $1 million doing esports. Like, yes, right? I mean, we'd all sign up for that. So I do think we are in crisis, and I think the bigger crisis we have is an environmental crisis. You know, when we build buildings and we throw 20% of the building in the dumpster on every job, I mean, we're the biggest contributor, you know, in terms of economic driver, we're also the biggest contributor to the environment. And, you know, whatever your position is on whether global warming exists, not here to debate that, but waste is waste. There's no reason why you should have a construction dumpster. You shouldn't have no need for anything to go into a dumpster. And I think we have a crisis around optimization and how we do things. And I do think we have a talent. We have an absolute talent crisis right now. Nobody wants to do the jobs that need to be done, and we don't have a choice.
I think those are, that's great. We should write about that, by the way. Can we steal that idea? It's not a crisis, but I would tell you that what I think about a lot is on the demand side. So I it's not a crisis, but like KP articulately said, but the demand from the consumer, whether it's an office tenant or a warehouse or multifamily or retail, is fundamentally changed. So I think we don't realize that we are going to have a demand problem that the industry might not be ready for. Demand, because we're building structures that the market doesn't necessarily want the way that it's built and configured. And I think that's going to catch people by surprise. I mean, right now it's good. You know, employment's low, economy's doing great, but there are seismic changes that are happening out in the marketplace, and that's what a lot of other industries have faced, right? And technology is not going to wait for us to catch up. I was reading an article yesterday about in Israel, they're investing heavily, heavily in AI in healthcare, so that, you know, the medical profession is going to be challenged because AI is going to be able to diagnose a lot of ailments better than a human will. So technology is not waiting for us. It's here. It's going to come in. It's going to find the inefficiencies. It'll take some time. And that's my main core message is we have time, but the clock's ticking. But I like your answer better.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the idea of the types of buildings that a lot of the people in here are designing and building, I think there is still, an owner looks at it and says ROI, right? They say, how can we get the most out of this asset? You're building an asset. I think a lot of it has to do with how we can better communicate, use technology from designing to building. But, you know, I mentioned the talent crisis on the job site. We have it in engineering. I mean, I'm a civil engineer, and I do work at Georgia Tech Civil Engineering School. It's tough to keep those kids interested in civil engineering. I'm fairly convinced that architecture would have a major talent shortage if it wasn't for BIM. You know, back in architecture school, when you got out and you had to draw door details for the first 3 years of your career, you know, you're out, right? But BIM made it interesting. It made it sexy. But I still think we're going to continue to have those issues. As far as how people think about their asset, investors who drive the economy are going to always want to have an asset that lasts as long as possible or get their ROI. You know, the math has to work. If you're going to make it last shorter, you better get the right rents and on the front end.
Thank you. We do all right? That's good?
All right.
Okay. Thanks, KP. Thanks, everybody.